Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on another nice-looking but hot August afternoon. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover here in the studio with at the mics, and we have Drew at the controls as usual. So we welcome you in here on the Wednesday Drive, just 3 days away from the season opener for the Auburn Tigers, a couple of days away from more high school football as both Auburn High and Lee Scott win their season openers. They both look to go 2-0 this Friday with all the Lee Scott action over on AU 100 and the Auburn High play-by-play starting at 6:30 on Wings 94.3. So welcome in, everybody. It is football time. We're getting closer. I mean, there's some really interesting games around the SEC and the country, but I think especially really the SEC with some of the intersectional matchups and the, well, not just intersectional, but non-conference and some big non-conference games here. Auburn, of course, hosting Alabama A&M. And Jason, I mean, Auburn has made it through the preseason. I think probably one of the most important things is they look like they're heading into the season about as healthy as a team could hope to be.
Yeah, I agree. I think they are very strategic in the way they handle things. And I think we saw that with Keontae Scott. And we saw that with Austin Keys. I think we saw that with a couple of guys going. We saw it early with Keontae Lambert-Smith. They were like, look, don't push these guys and not have them healthy in week one. Would I be surprised if we see a little of Keontae and a little of Austin Keys? No, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little bit of those guys.
I would imagine they both want to be on the field
But I don't know if we'll see them play a bunch. I think, just get out there and knock the rust off, let some of the young guys jump in there, guys that have been practicing with the ones. And I don't think it's about who you're playing. I think it's about, look, these guys haven't had that kind of play so far, so get them on the field. But otherwise, pretty healthy group heading into season one. And it's a long year when you talk about, bye weeks and a season, especially when you talk about the month of October. I mean, five home games, people talk about a lot about the five home games. The not being at home for the month of October is a big deal, and so you need to be as healthy as you can
especially, be. I mean, they're all conference games.
Correct, yes. It's not like you get a couple of scrubs along the way off. No, you don't have any of those opportunities. So, important to stay healthy, and they got some depth to be able to handle those things.
Well, and Saturday is when you hope that you really get a chance to see that depth, and they get an opportunity to play because you've done your job and put Alabama A&M away.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the number one goal is to win a game. The number two goal is to win it and be able to get as many guys on the field as possible. And, ideally, you'd like to go out there and for the first guys to be able to take control of things pretty early. It'd be great to be able to get a Hank Brown on the field and actually let him play a quarter and a half,
sure,
just to get more reps, because right now he's your number two guy. I think that's going to be something that will continue to battle throughout the fall. I don't think they're like, oh, here's your number two, that's it. I think he's going to have to continue to perform and show that he's the guy that will stay there. But I think as many of those guys, especially young guys, you can get on the field. I think defensively, I think wide receiver, I think we're going to see those young guys on the field no matter what the score is, because I think they're a part of the plan. I think we'll see, obviously, Cam Coleman, but I think we'll see Bryce Kane. I think we'll see Malcolm Simmons and Perry Thompson. I think we'll see those guys. I think we're going to see Malik Autry up front. I think we're going to see Amaris Williams up front. I think we may see Jamonte Waller a little bit up front. We're going to see DeMarcus Riddick a little bit, especially if Austin Keys.
Right. And, but then, you're probably going to see Jake Crawford and Amon Lane, too.
Back in, you're going to see Caleb Harris for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to see him for sure in those roles as well. So,
and you're going to see Towns Magoo.
Yeah, and there's going to be some young guys playing. And so, you know, those are going to, they're going to be a part of things. So, a whole lot of unknowns going into this one. And I think we saw last weekend. I think even with teams where you go, oh, man, you feel pretty good about it, you just don't know. Mm-hmm. You don't know how teams are going to react. I think more than ever, there's uncertainty going into a season about, okay, exactly what is somebody going to look like, especially early on.
The transfer portal has an awful lot to do with that. I mean, it can make such a change from players that leave certain places and the schools that do the best job of finding those pieces can come in.
And how quickly can you incorporate those? You know, I think I don't think that Florida State's a bad football team, but how quickly can you figure out who you are as a football team? Because they got a lot of new faces, a new quarterback, all those things. I mean, who knows? I think that's part of it. You know, Georgia Tech had a quarterback returning. They had some offensive linemen returning. And you saw a group that looked, especially offensively, much more cohesive. And, you know, that paid off for them. And so I think that's the goal now for Auburn. Can you go out, execute, and just make some plays early?
And it's interesting. I have questions and conversations with folks that I hear differing thoughts. We've talked about this a little bit. But, again, I think in the current situation that Hugh Freeze and Auburn are in, with as many – new players being relied on, whether they be experienced transfers or freshmen for the most part. It's a kind of game I know that doesn't excite fans when you've got an Alabama A&M coming in, and I've heard some people saying, man, I'd rather be opening up with Notre Dame or Michigan. Well, if you had a team that was that had had three straight recruiting years the way Hugh Freeze wants to put these together,
yeah, you're
two or three years from now, I can see that.
Correct.
If you're in the situation Alabama or Georgia especially is in, then sure, you could think, yeah, we're going to open up against somebody and find out really how good we are right now. But Auburn needs to find out, they need to find out who's going to be able to help them and try to build some confidence. So I think this is it's the kind of team that you want, and it's the kind of beginning. You talked about October. You don't mind having all these home games when you're really trying to find your identity, as Hugh Freeze told us a couple of days ago. You know, people think he knows exactly what they've got. Hey, they won't know until they see him, and they see him in a couple of ball games.
Yeah, and like I said, you're practicing against yourself, so you'll have some. There'll be some unknowns come Saturday. How much can you figure it out? But I think. I mean, it is a part of the unknown, and I think we've talked about this last week. I think exactly what you need to do. This is the opposite of basketball. Basketball has a bunch of older guys. You got guys that have played a lot of basketball, and you say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go throw it all to the wall early in the season.
And they've got a bunch of guys that have played together.
Correct.
Under Bruce
versus
Pearl.
Okay.
There's little question that if Hugh Free. Well, I mean, there's little question that Bruce Pearl has let the roster heavily influence how he schedules in November and December. And I imagine that if Hugh Freeze can build the roster to where Auburn is consistently talked about as a top-tier SEC team, he'll be more comfortable opening the season with a top-tier, you know, top 10, top 15 opponent, the way a couple of other SEC teams. I mean, you've got A&M and Florida and LSU playing ranked opponents. This, granted, they're not going on the road to do it, but they're all playing ranked opponents week one. Texas goes to Michigan in week two. You know, the big marquee game of the second weekend is Texas on the road against the reigning national champion. So, I mean, there are a couple of SEC teams going right into it early on. Auburn, you know, they have, you know, the phrase I've been using, Jason, is they have a bit of a runway into. Into the more turbulent part of the schedule, but that's not, look, don't overlook Cal. Like if some of the concerns we've been talking about lately, left tackle, secondary, the new faces on the defensive line, like if any of those is a glaring weakness, you could have a you could have a real problem on your hands week two.
Yeah.
Against Cal.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I don't look at left tackle as a weakness. I look at it as, again, I mentioned last week, I think you're trying to find your best five guys. I think Tyler Johnson is an NFL guy. He just hasn't played a lot of football yet. Nobody's going to go out and go, we are experienced, talented, and ready to go at all 22 spots. You're going to have some spots that have to grow up. That's a spot that has to grow up, but I feel like it's talented. Here's the thing. They're in much better shape on the offensive line than they've been in 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean you're NFL ready day one? No, but I do think I think Tyler Johnson's better than they've had. I think we'll see Dylan Wade back at left tackle a little bit. I think we'll see him still there some. I think you're going to search for their best five, but I do think they've got more options. And so I don't necessarily think that, we don't have a guy. I think they've got guys. They're just looking for the best guy.
I think we'll probably get a chance to see all three there at left tackle on Saturday.
Yeah. Hey, another one, Arkansas plays at Oklahoma State next week too. So you got to – I mean, there are a couple of these SEC teams that are – taking some trips and doing some of these things already. I mean, there's some really interesting games as you start this early season. I like the college football schedule, the way you said, okay, we're gonna balance some of these things. Where opening weekend, get some good games in week two to start to figure it out and spread some of these things around.
And a lot of these are, I mean, they're true on-campus games.
Yeah.
They're not all the kickoff preseason.
Yeah,
whatever.
I mean, you have Georgia, Clemson, do Tennessee, NC State is
well,
in Charlotte.
Well, LSU, USC.
There's a few of them.
That's in Vegas.
There's a few of them. So you got three of the ranked versus ranked.
My nephew is going to Vegas for that game.
Really?
Oh yeah. I mean, he grew up in Baton Rouge. He's living around here.
I honestly, we'll talk about those in a little bit. But I honestly have no idea what to expect.
I don't either.
I think LSU wins the game.
You know what I expect? Points.
I think LSU wins the game, but I'm not really certain that USC can't go out there and score 35 and win 35-30.
LSU needs to be so much better defense than they were last year, and so does USC.
Yeah, how on earth, when you think about those two teams replacing the top two picks in the draft?
Yeah.
The one and two picks in the draft?
Correct.
The last two Heisman Trophy winners?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's who's – like. Moving on from two players that impactful, how on earth do you have any idea what you're going to get? I mean, I feel pretty good about LSU's level of talent, and I feel like LSU has several players in place that everybody would want.
Yeah,
sure. But don't you think USC does too?
USC does, although I would venture to say LSU probably has more.
I think maybe a little bit more.
I think.
Yeah. I would think.
But they're both quarter. I mean, how do you project?
Well, I mean, we've seen Garrett Nussmeier some. We saw him light up Georgia for a half in an SEC championship game.
Yeah, he's had a nearly 400-yard game.
Yeah, and a little over half against Georgia. So we've seen that a little bit, and we saw, at USC, we saw him play in a bowl game and throw for 400 yards in an Alamo Bowl and play. So we've seen little bits and pieces.
It would also be very LSU to be really good the year after the superstar quarterback leaves. Like, that's when the level – because they didn't win with him. They won some with Jaden Daniels, but they didn't win the conference or compete for the national championship in 2 years with Jaden Daniels. And I don't think it was Jaden Daniels' fault. Right, like it was maybe some other issues they had on the roster. Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, they win the national championship the year after Jamarcus is the first overall pick. Right, that's when Matt Flynn leads them to the title. 15, 16 years ago.
Well, I mean, I guess yeah. And you think that's not the only place. I mean, Peyton Manning leaves Tennessee, and then they won it the next year.
True. Yeah. How about this one though? How about LSU? The last time they won a season opener was that 2019.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it?
That is
crazy.
They've lost to Florida State the last 2 years, lost to UCLA and Mississippi State.
State destroyed them as
absolutely.
The
absolutely. Yeah, that was Leach's first game.
Leach's first game as Mississippi State
head coach.
They
threw for 600 yards or whatever it was. So, yeah, so they haven't won one.
Did Will Rogers go to Washington? Is that where he's – like? He's still in college football
correct.
Somewhere.
He is at Washington, yes. And so –
My big thing, Jason. I've been hammering it this week, and we talked about it a little bit. We've talked about it with some of the names that we've mentioned on the show already, including Jaden Daniels. How tough it is for quarterbacks to make that jump and immediately sustain
year
their
one.
Level of play
in year one.
In year yeah. one, I thought
and especially DJ, especially early in year
well,
one.
You know, and I had someone who switched teams in high school tell me recently that as you can practice, every day all off season long, and you're still not going to know what your new teammates are going to do till you played some games with them. And early on, especially improvising, is really, really difficult for a quarterback when he's not sure where his teammates are going to be or what their tendencies are in that situation. Yeah. DJ Uiagalelei was not the problem, the only problem for Florida State on Saturday, but he seemed a bit uncomfortable in his new surroundings.
Correct. You lose NFL wide receivers, and you figure, okay, now who are the guys you're going to throw to? And you don't, we're not going to cut it loose. From a plan standpoint, I think Florida State probably went into that going, we'll be good enough. We're going to short control passing game. We'll be good enough to win that game. And they weren't. Like, his average per attempt was behind the line of scrimmage Saturday against Georgia Tech, which is wild.
Sure.
Like, yeah, so it was minus .1.
Seeing Riley Leonard going to College Station this Saturday night.
Miami.
And Cam Ward making the jump.
Third team.
Cam Ward making a jump.
It is, and that's why I think from the flip side of that, a guy like Peyton Thorne, even though it's a different type of offense, it's year two. He knows, even though there's a lot of new faces, he was here in the spring. He got a chance to see those guys. I think that's a big benefit, and you're right. I think you look at like around the country where transfer quarterbacks have been, year two has been the takeoff year for a lot of those guys. Let's start back to where it really started. Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, year two, was a big deal for him. And so I think –
oh, no doubt.
I think, there's a lot of that stuff to watch this season. And, heck, I was just doing, like, Alabama A&M's depth chart, and, like, it's like 90% of those guys are transfer guys.
Yeah, Andy was talking about that yesterday. And the thing is, they're all underclassmen. We were talking about it yesterday. Alabama A&M sort of – I wonder if they pitched – to players at bigger schools, come in here, you're going to get a chance to play on a bigger stage. You know, we'll play Auburn, and if you play well, you've got a chance not only to get a lot of playing time here, but maybe to move on to a bigger school.
I've already said, if I was at, maybe not Troy, Jacksonville State, UAB, but if I'm at Louisiana Monroe, if I'm at FIU, if I'm at places like that, I'm almost treating it like a junior college.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and say, look, you can go to those schools and not play.
Right.
Come here. You're going to play right away. And if in 2 years you're ready to go, I'm going to say, hey, thanks. Appreciate it. And I'm going to talk you up to the next guy. I would almost go into junior college mode because, hey, look, basketball is already pretty much that way. Football is getting there. But, yeah, I would sell myself to the big timers and go, look, they got – come play quarterback. Start. Get your time. And then in a couple of years – move on, and we'll say thanks. I think it's part of it.
That's just how the face of college football, how college football itself continues to change. We need to get to our first break of the afternoon. I'd love for you to join in. You can give us a call on the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
Stick with us. We're right back here on the Wednesday Drive.
Experience and knowledge from Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell here in the studio. Love for you to join in if you've got any thoughts, questions, comments about Auburn or anything sports-wise. We talked a little bit up there about the LSU-USC game. That's Sunday, right?
That's Sunday night's game, yeah.
Monday is Boston College, Florida State.
Oh.
Boston College has a really athletic quarterback named Bill O'Brien, first game, I believe.
If Florida State starts 0-2.
That's tough to be playing in Ireland and 8 days later,
And you're playing two conference games to start the season, too.
That's a tough draw.
I'm telling you, it is. It's really interesting. Georgia Tech has to play Georgia State and Dale McGee's first game on TV.
I would have really wanted this week off if I played internationally
week
zero. Like, I would have really tried to, like, give me another week to
– I need more time.
Especially if you lose. Right, because those losses aren't, it's tough to put that one in the rearview mirror.
I think
it's
a Boston College that has the really fast quarterback that can really run. Thomas Castellanos can fly. Like, he is, like, after watching what Georgia Tech did running the football, they've got to face a guy now who it's hard to even tackle. It's going to be a really interesting game.
You know, and Florida State, you know, Jim Mora would tell you, you know, forget about playoffs. He's just trying to win a game. But Florida State, you wonder, like, they're approaching needing to win the ACC to get into the 12-team college football playoff. Yeah. I don't think a 9-3.
I think
9-3 Florida State's probably not getting in.
Yeah,
as
I think you got. I think you got one more. I think two losses and you're okay. But it was funny though.
If they come the first two games,
then it's pretty much over with.
Yeah
it's gonna be really
two losses. But that's
not going to be the last one.
No. If you lose to these two, it's not the last one you're going
to
lose.
It's easier to say two losses when you have zero. Right. Once you get to one,
the next one is two.
Well, here's the thing. It creates a little more pressure because we just don't know. We don't know what it's going to take, because if there's 10, 11 teams with two losses and you've lost to Georgia Tech and Boston College, even if you run the table. Now, I guess running the table would probably
win the conference.
Well, I guess it would. I mean, it's two losses in a conference, though. You still might not win it.
You may not play for a conference title.
But you start talking about, like, we just don't know what it's gonna be, because people have asked me about this Auburn team. I said, look, I think 8-4, maybe 9-3. 9-3 with the right losses, and you may be knocking on the top 12.
Yeah.
Depending on who the losses are, when they happen.
How many conferences still have? See, here's something. I know which teams are in what leagues now. Does everybody just take the top two, or do you still have divisions?
I think it's everybody takes
because
the top two.
Because if you're taking the top two, you eliminate the chances of having like an 8-4 team playing for a conference and getting in and getting
I think that's exactly why this has happened.
Yeah,
so you're like, because I know in reality, it's like the Big Ten. You've eliminated an 8-4 Wisconsin team sneaking up and beating somebody.
I knew the Big Ten and the SEC had. I just wasn't
sure.
Yeah,
I think now you look at it, the SEC has been pretty balanced. You got good teams on both sides. The Big Ten, the Wisconsins, the Nebraskas of the world, the Northwesterns of the world, for them, this has almost eliminated them, in my opinion, from being able to compete for a championship. When you think about the other teams in that league, they were all on one side. Now it's a free-for-all. It's going to be hard to imagine Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, maybe Iowa.
Of the original Big Ten teams.
Oregon. Correct. But I'm saying you've eliminated those. But I think it's made it almost impossible for those teams. You think about USC and Oregon jumping in there and doing those things. It's going
to
be really hard.
To me, the loss, like, everyone made such a big deal about the kind of trips that the West Coast teams were going to have to make joining the Big Ten.
I think it's the other way around.
It absolutely is. In football,
yes.
At least. Maybe it'll grind. Maybe it'll wear on you a little bit more in basketball. But I would point out, like, UCLA and USC were getting on a plane and traveling, you know, several hours to go practically anywhere in that conference already. Like, back in the old, by the time the Pac-12 turned into what it became, like, flights from, you know, USC to Boulder, Colorado, or Salt Lake City, or Pullman, Washington, or, you know.
I don't think distance is nearly as big as time.
Time zone, yeah.
That, to me, the only impact it has is if you're Big Noon and you're USC.
Right.
And you're kicking off at 8 a.m. local time for 11 o'clock start or whatever. That's when it has an impact. Now, will they do that to them? Probably not.
I think last year, though,
Auburn and Cal, that was a massive disservice to Auburn to be playing at, you know, 10:30 Central Time or whatever it was. That's a big deal. That's the things that
could
really
impact.
Yeah,
that would have been like the Cal game next week being 11 o'clock.
Correct. And Auburn was all for that.
And I believe that instance was entirely out of a desire by ESPN to have a doubleheader with Alabama-Texas followed by Auburn-Cal.
Yeah, correct.
And so you needed a West Coast game that could start after an Alabama-Texas primetime game.
I mean, and here's the thing about it. You're right. To go west, I know, and I've talked about it, and I've talked to people inside the Auburn program. They're like, we don't want to do that anymore. Not during a season. If it's a bowl, sure, Rose Bowl, whatever, that's fine. but it impacts you for weeks.
Afterwards, yes. For weeks. I mean, it really does.
It does. And so I think that's, you're right. I think that's what's going to impact people is going across the country and back and then playing again the next week.
Yeah, just browsing schedules of the Pac-12 teams that have joined the Big Ten. Like Washington will host Michigan in the middle of October, right? National championship game rematch. Like that's going to be a bit of a, you know, that's an unusually long trip for Michigan to go all the way to Washington and then play a Big Ten game, presumably a week later. You look into UCLA's got one of the East Coast teams at home over the course of Minnesota goes to not an East Coast team per se. Iowa goes to UCLA. Like these teams are going to make. I think that the Big Ten trips out west are going to be more unusual than the new Pac-12 teams coming in and playing these Big Ten teams because they've been playing games like this for much of the ever since the Pac-12 added some of the more geographically distant teams they've been playing. Now the Big 12 teams, on the other hand, that league is a complete, like the ACC and the Big 12 are complete free for alls as far as where you can be going.
I loved it because I heard somebody dub it, and it's exactly true. The ACC is the all coast conference.
Yes, it is.
Not the Atlantic Coast Conference. It is absolutely the all coast conference. And it's insane to think about some of the trips that some of these teams are going to have to take. And when you start talking about, you know, scheduling and all the things that go on, I was looking at like UCF, and I'm going to go find their schedule, but it is
I like UCF's schedule. Toughest road games at TCU.
They're at Iowa State, at Arizona State, at West Virginia, and then play Utah at home. So they don't have a ton, but I mean Utah's got to come across the country. They're at TCU. So they're at TCU, at Iowa State, at Arizona State, at West Virginia. And so you have a bye week between those two. So
go 3-1 in those games and hold serve at home and you're
yeah, you gotta go to Florida.
Playoff
and
team.
And you got Colorado at home. I don't know. I mean it's so weird to be talking about like games like that.
It's like, oh wow, they're more intersectional. Oh no, those are conference games.
Yes, I mean
that's what, you know, it feels like, oh, this is cool, we're going to see a big non-conference game. And it's like,
and this is no, all
that's either an ACC or a Big 12 game.
This is all
or a Big 10.
I mean it's really a byproduct of four schools deciding to switch leagues. Like this is all, yep, because
you're right.
USC, UCLA, Texas, and Oklahoma saw greener pastures in different,
yeah,
conferences.
Yeah, I mean like this thing about like SMU has
ACC, powerhouse, SMU.
They play BYU at home, TCU at home, Florida State at home, at Louisville, at Stanford, at Duke, Pittsburgh, Boston College, at Virginia, and Cal.
Love it.
SMU. I'm like, it's just, you're like a ping pong ball.
Yeah, here we are. We're going from fairly near the center to either side. Yeah, that is wild. Hey, we need to get to our bottom of the hour break.
He needs to break down. It's game week. He needs to break down the Auburn game when we come back and talk about what he's expecting to see on Saturday.
We will do that and more. Again, love for you to join in, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Wednesday Drive.
1067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive, 25 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover, part of the 24/7 network. And as Dan was saying, it is game week. What do you want?
Here's what I want. I think we asked Andy earlier the week. We asked him who's a player. Maybe pick an offensive player and a defensive player that you think could raise his profile in this game on Saturday. Somebody you think people could be talking about. I mean, if you also want to pick an MVP or two from fall camp, now that you have I think there's a. I feel like you might have a list in your head guys who qualify for this, and I'd love Jason's list.
Yeah, so like MVP fall camp stuff. I don't know.
Just someone who raised their.
Yeah, I think offensively, when I think about fall camp, the guy that I think about that probably did as much to help himself would probably be Malcolm Simmons, because
I thought you were going to say Tyler Johnson. who seemingly has pushed his way.
Yeah, I think
Malcolm's a great answer.
Here's the thing about Tyler. We've been on that bandwagon since the spring. Like, we have, me and Nathan especially, have been talking about that guy since the spring, because talking to Jake Thornton, he's like, look, this guy's an NFL guy. It's just a matter of, okay, getting – he's bigger, he's stronger. You watch him move yesterday and you go, God, that's what it's supposed to look like. And I get Greg Robinson vibes physically when I look at him. And there was no doubt about Greg Robinson physically. He just didn't handle it as well in the NFL. But Malcolm is a guy, to me, that raised his stock, because I think – it's really difficult to come in as a freshman, especially when you don't have the spring, and go, hey, we got to get that guy on the field. I think he's done that. I think he's gone, oh, we got to get that guy some touches. I think it's been that dramatic
for him. He's now one of your primary kickoff returners.
Yeah, I think you're going, hey, look, we got to get the ball in his hands some way. And I think they knew, okay, this guy's pretty good. I don't think they knew how good he was until he got on campus. And then they went, holy cow, this guy's a freak. And he is. And so I think
– And he's got an Instagram handle that I believe
– changed his number to 11.
But I believe Freak of Nature is still the handle on Instagram.
And that's – I think he is one of those guys. And I've kind of thrown out a Robert Baker comparison a little bit, but I think he's twitchier than Robert Baker was. But Robert Baker was a guy that you felt like, man, that guy could go play safety. You could put him at running back if you wanted to. Like, he was a guy that just like, well, go put him somewhere. Malcolm's, to me, is the same kind of guy. And so I think he is a guy that's probably helped himself. Tyler Johnson is right there. But again, I've been kind of waiting on him, so it wasn't as much to see. But I think for Tyler, now it's a matter. My word has been seasoning. The same thing in the secondary with J.C. Hart and some of these guys. Now it's just a matter of going out and playing some football. Getting some of that, go play, go – honestly think one of the biggest things about this camp that is going to impact Auburn was DJ Durkin's defense on the other side. You talk to the offensive players. We talked to Peyton Thorne yesterday. We talked to Jeremiah Wright, and they're like, man, we've seen everything we can see, because that's what they do on defense. I think that's really going to help.
Oh, I do too.
I think it helps the receivers, because now they've had to, okay, what's this defense look like? They're changing. I think it's going to help them dramatically as you get into a fall camp. I mean, to get into the season. So that's two guys on offense. Defensively, you'd have to go with Malik Blockton, because he is going to rotate in with the first defense in some cases as a true freshman defensive tackle.
I'd throw Isaiah Rakes in there. I mean, another one that just got here this summer that all the defensive guys talk about how important he is. Bug Thompson yesterday, that was the guy that he mentioned when he was asked,
yeah,
you know, who's impressed you, who's come on, and he said, look, he wasn't even here in the spring, like me, but I mean, he's a guy that is one of the leaders, and he is a disruptor, and that's something that's what Auburn really needs.
And that's it. That's why I think Blockton, because I think he's going to be on the field in pass rush situations, but if Rakes can be a disruptor on early downs, then that creates a much different type of defense for you. The less you have to send seven or eight guys, the better off you are. And so if you have guys up front, because we think, you know what Keldrick Fault's going to be. We think we know what Jalen McLeod and Kieron Crawford are going to be. Amaris Williams behind Keldrick. You feel like on the edge, this team has some guys that are going to be able to get turned the corner. But you can only do that so much if your guys in the middle don't help you out some. So those are guys.
If I had to put the old Johnny, and we did this a little bit yesterday, but if I had to put the old Johnny Carson envelope to my head and try to guess like who's going to be, who was it, Kreskin, Bill, or the
my last defensive guy, Karnak.
You know, if I had to do the I want to know who's the last defensive
guy. Caleb Harris. Yes.
He has not been mentioned much, but you see him out there working.
I think he's working some of the ones. I think the guy that the coaches love. He's smart. He played in a big time program at Thompson, so he understands work ethic. He understands defenses. I think he's going to play a lot at safety for this team as a true freshman.
One of your guys earlier in the fall who, you know, might find himself squeezed out of the rotation because Auburn has so much experience is Bobby Jamison Travis. I wouldn't rule out the possibility. And it would be huge if he, because if he's taking snaps away from a senior or an upperclassman, like that bodes well for the rest of his. He's got at least one more.
He's got one more year.
And so, I mean, it's
we saw. And here's the thing: it's Tuesday. you don't know exactly if that's the rotation. We know they're going to play a bunch of defensive linemen. I think that these first couple of games will determine what that rotation will at least start out like when you start to get into SEC play. I think they want to see, okay, is this guy going to step up? Maybe this guy plays in a game and cuts it loose and is really good. I think when you look at the interior, we mentioned Rakes, obviously. We mentioned Malik Blockton, Phillip Bleedy, transfer is going to play.
I think Bleedy's going to play.
Gage
a lot.
Keys is going to play. Mm-hmm. Jason Jones is there. Bobby Jameson Travis.
Trill Carter.
I mean, you're talking about eight guys for two spots. We haven't even moved Keldrick Falk down to tackle, which is going to happen. He's going to play some tackle in certain situations. That's nine players for two spots. It's going to be hard, but I think it's going to create some competition going, hey, if you want to get those snaps in the fourth quarter, you better be really good in the second quarter.
The good thing is right now, apparently, DJ Durkin feels like he can sub those guys and he's not going to have a big drop-off.
Yeah.
So everybody should have the opportunities and then be rested when the game's on.
I go back to Vontrell King-Williams, and he's said it a couple times when we sat down with a video. He said, it's a rep chart, not a depth chart. It's the best thing I've ever heard, because that's exactly what a defensive line is. It's a rep chart, not a depth chart. Just because you're one now doesn't mean you're going to be one in the fourth quarter.
You know what else? I like having a defensive line coach with Vontrell's proportions too, because he's going to understand. Like, these guys, hey,
get tired.
You know what? It's you can. You know, I think, you know, he's been there. He's been
correct.
That's a guy who's been in that battle. He's been in their shoes and knows. Yeah, that you cannot rely on two or three guys to play all the snaps.
Yeah.
At really any position anymore, except maybe quarterback. But like when you're talking about. Like one, it's imperative.
Yeah,
to rotate.
We even heard Hugh Freeze a little bit on Tiger Talk on Monday night talking about wide receivers. We heard he mentioned it on Monday, but talking about, hey, look, if you run go route, I'd like to have another guy in the game instead of running all the way back to the line of scrimmage doing those things. Now it's gonna create a substitution, and they'll be allowed to substitute. But other thing that was really interesting to me and was he's talked about. How you deal with helmet communication, some of the things that are going on. I really believe that we're going to see Auburn go really fast at times. Then I think we're going to see Auburn go really slow at times to go, okay, we're going to make our call. We're going to get up to the line of scrimmage, and you can't talk to your mic guy. We're going to make our call at 15 seconds, cut it off, get up to the line, and you can't adjust from the coach. I think we're going to see some of that where teams are going, hey, we're going to play a little cat and mouse.
Well,
going
those opportunities are there, and that's one of the things that, I mean, we'll see. It looked
– like a pop quiz for the linebacker,
it sort of,
right?
It looked like Florida State was forced to go slow the other day because – because of that. I think it's going to help some teams. I think it's going to, for some that haven't really thought that out or aren't prepared for that, it's going to hurt.
And here's the thing, I think because – Peyton Thorne is going to have so much control of the offense that it's still going to be line of scrimmage game for Auburn. And they're going to go, okay, show us what you got. And then, okay, I got you. We're checking to another play. I think there's going to be a lot more of that than we've seen. He's going to have more understanding and control of the offense at the line of scrimmage than any Auburn quarterback we've seen in a long time.
If I had to try to predict, and again, these are shots in the dark, big play from Sam Jackson wouldn't be all that shocking. I think would fire people up. A new addition that maybe hasn't gotten the same kind of press as the Freeze Four or even Keandre and Robert Lewis. Mm-hmm. Robert Lewis also probably qualifies in that mix. And I know I talked to one beat writer this week who says, you know, that would be my pick to lead Auburn in receptions right now. Would be Robert Lewis.
I would probably lean toward that. I believe.
I don't know if we've necessarily talked about Robert Lewis. He's going to lead Auburn in interceptions.
I think it has a little Ryan Davis feel to it, where you're going, hey, we need 9 yards. That's the guy we're going to go get 10 yards from.
Reliable.
Even though I think he can run. I think he can make plays. It feels like he's a guy that middle of the field. We need a play. Let's go get it from that guy.
You know, yeah. But, well, he was the guy before Keandre Lambert Smith was on campus. I mean, you heard all the young players and Camden Brown and Caleb Burton talking about Robert Lewis was the guy that was really leading them. And they were looking up
Unc Lewis.
Yeah. We'll go back to that because my MVP, Rivaldo Fairweather.
Yeah.
Because of everything we've mentioned. Right. That's the guy that people are going, oh, we still got that guy. Yes. And defenses,
who was
all,
the guy last
defenses
year
as all of receivers. A sudden are not going to be able to go, well, let's just find that guy and we don't have to worry about anything else. You're not going to be able to do that now.
No.
And he's going to have the ability to run in the middle of the field.
But you better catches and coverage.
You better find that guy.
And that's the thing. You can't.
You're right.
You can't do it in that way they did last year where they're going, we're going to bracket that guy. We'll play man outside and we're fine. You play man outside right now, and you're going to be asking. And it has been a long time since Auburn's been able to do that.
I think the chance of and Bill and I talked about some of the non Jarquez options where it's like I think a big play in the run game from a Damari or a Jeremiah would remind people it's like, oh, you've got
I don't expect to see, you know, 18 carries from Jarquez Hunter.
No, I don't either.
I think we could see. 30 combined carries from
10,
those.
10, 10.
I'll say 30 combined carries from those three guys. Maybe a few more for the other guys. Spread it around some. I think in a perfect world, you do what you do on offense for about 2.5 quarters. You've got a sizable lead, and then you come in and let Hank Brown run the offense for another quarter to get into. Hey, give him a couple of possessions to take. Go cut it loose. Go throw it. Do all those things you want to do. And then go, okay, let's play some young guys and get out of here. I think that's a perfect world scenario Saturday if you're able to do it.
All right, we will get to our final break of hour number one, our final segment with Jason. So stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
I'm Wes Allen. Secretary
7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final few minutes of hour number one here on the Wednesday Drive with Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover with us for a few more minutes.
What are some of the games that intrigue y'all this weekend?
Yeah, I was going to just ask you about that. There are quite a few games involving SEC teams.
Nothing really.
I really don't know. We talked about LSU and USC.
Even Thursday night, or I'm looking at going, okay, I mean, like North Dakota State, Colorado. I mean, I don't know that I'm going to watch it, but it's intriguing. But you get to Saturday and you go Clemson, Georgia. I have a feeling that Clemson's going to be better than people think.
I sort of do, too. I think Georgia is really, really good. But I think a lot of people are just expecting Georgia to win.
Here's what I think. I think Clemson's defensive front's going to be really good. And two local guys, semi-local guys, Peter Woods from Thompson, T.J. Parker from Central Phoenix City, are both guys that I think are going to be dudes. And all of a sudden you start to go, okay, you got some players up front that can create some havoc on defense. Cade Klubnick is the key. Can he do anything offensively?
I don't like
not this week.
I think it could be closer than some people think.
That the betting market's confidence in Georgia this year is
unbelievable.
Hilarious. Like it could be understood. I mean, it's understandable.
Well, I mean, the quarterback drives so much, and their wide receiver group could be really good. Mm-hmm. You don't have your security blanket.
Georgia is playing on the road at Alabama on the 28th. They're playing at Texas on October 19th. They're playing at Ole Miss on November 9th. If you wanted to bet any of those games right now, Georgia's favored.
Yeah.
All three of them.
I know.
That's the kind of confidence. Right. On the road against three teams in the top five of the preseason, and Georgia's favored in all three of those games.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and I wonder if we're going to see Georgia showcase that in Atlanta on Saturday,
I think it's a little bit closer. The last time they went to Atlanta, they just ran through Oregon that first time, and so that's interesting. We talk Miami, Florida. I'm just not a Miami believer. Now, I'm not a huge believer in Florida either. This one feels like it's set up all summer for everybody talking about how bad Florida is.
Make or break for Florida, and they've got them.
I think it's make or break for Miami, too.
I do, too, but it's set up much better for Florida, I think, than it is for Miami.
There's going to be an ACC team in the playoff, and Miami has been a trendy pick to be that ACC
team. A team that has still yet to make the ACC championship.
I know, I showed you, Bill, the last 20 years of Miami football. I pulled up that thing
Mario's record isn't that much better than Billy's.
No, it's – and that's the thing. I'm thinking, like, you've thrown all this money at Cam Ward. Is he the guy? Well, I mean, he threw for a bunch of yards last year. Washington State went 6-7. Is that the difference? We'll see. They've got some talent. They got some weapons. I pick Florida to win a game, and not. I don't know that many people are. I'm not a believer.
Don't be shocked if there's some other folks.
I think there's more. There'd be more confidence in Miami if this game was not in Gainesville. Yep, I imagine
they'd still have more Florida fans, even if it was in Miami, though.
Oh, but it's
but I mean, it would be different.
Right.
They're going to have 400.
Yeah, Miami a slight favorite in Gainesville on Saturday, but no, I think Florida could win that game outright as well.
Notre Dame, Texas A&M is the other big one.
Mm-hmm. I feel sort of the same way. Again, I home field and an experienced quarterback.
I just don't know. Well, he's been there a long time, but he ain't real experienced.
No, but at least, that's true.
And it's a new coaching staff around him installing a new system.
Who's playing his former quarterback on the other side.
Right. That's right.
Who is very experienced, really athletic, smart kid. I have no idea.
It's Colin Klein, right? The new offensive coordinator at Texas A&M, who did a very good job at Kansas State the last couple of years. It's a different animal jumping into the SEC.
And different type of guy, even though he can run. But this is one of the perfect game where I'm like, I have no idea. I don't know. You could tell me that either one of these teams won by two touchdowns, and I go, I can believe that. Mm-hmm. I have no clue. I just don't know.
That's what's great. It is great, though. I mean, there's some really interesting, intriguing matchups here the first few weeks of the season.
And then LSU, USC, we talked about, again, a game I have no clue what to expect.
Apparently A&M, we were talking about this earlier in the week, A&M is if the projected offensive line is the starters, you're talking about six career starts for Notre Dame on the offensive line. That's with a new quarterback going to College Station.
Yeah, I know. You would think that would be a huge problem. But going
we'll find
to
out.
Against an A&M team that has some talent but hasn't been there to this point. Elko's a guy that gets a lot out of guys. But it's game one. I don't know. A lot of fun.
Jason, it's great, man. The hour has flown. Let people know how they can keep up with everything that you and everybody there at Auburn Undercover got.
Yeah, you can check us out, auburnundercover.com, part of 24/7 Network. Tons of stuff leading up to Saturday. Recruiting stuff, big weekend. Deuce Knight expected in on Saturday. We'll see if we get some news out of that come this weekend maybe. But I feel like Auburn sits in a good spot still for him. And so have recruiting coverage, football coverage, all those things and more.
We're back with hour number two. Stick with us.
Four Seasons Federal Sports Capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well. And I hope you're with us for hour number one. We're always glad when we have a chance to spend some time with Jason Caldwell of Auburn Undercover. He was with us in hour number one. Hope you got a chance to hear that. If you missed that or any of the drive or any of the things that go on here at ESPN 106.7, though, but if anything related to the drive, check out our podcast.
That's right. Podcasts of the Drive presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They're an Alabama-based firm hiring great-paying skilled trade positions. 334-209-6355 to learn more. You can access the podcast by going to your favorite podcasting platform and searching for The Drive with Bill Cameron or going to ESPNAU.com and using the podcast center. Bumped into Riley on campus. Riley would want me to mention there's lots of other ways, right? You could use the Abby Award-winning app. You can, use the Alexa. There's lots of other fancy ways, but use the your favorite podcasting platform or ESPNAU.com and the podcast center. Easiest ways to get to the podcast.
You can get through to us here on The Drive in a couple of ways. One is by calling The Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box. That also presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Hour number two of the Drive.
I almost gave the Southeastern Industrial Contractor. Well, I was thinking about. I mean, I wanted
to fine. Call them.
Call but, them up, but no, you can. And I did. I just did that.
Maybe Derek would forward the info to us.
Shout out to our buddy Derek. 334-564-1840, the number for the Drive text box. Had a couple of texts into the Drive text box that we've read on the air in the last couple of days.
That is right.
And I want to keep that going.
The second hour of the show brought to you, as usual, by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care. with locations in Auburn and Opelika. I'm headed out back to the Opelika location on Friday to get stitches out. So I'm excited about that. Great job. I mean, it will had the little hand surgery there last Thursday, and everything has gone really well. You can check them online at orthoclinic.com. All right, again, we're just 3 days away from a full day. It is a full weekend of college football. Great. I mean, with Labor Day weekend coming up, we mentioned the fact that, yes, you've got the LSU-USC game in Las Vegas on Sunday night. And then Florida State, which just lost last week over in Dublin, Ireland, having to turn around and play another ACC game this weekend. That is crazy. That is absolutely crazy. I mean, it's great exposure. It's not great if you lose one, which they've already done, and it's really, really bad if you lose two, which they could do. They could start off the season 0-2.
No, and it would be just a disastrous. I mean, you think about where things were going for Florida State before Jordan Travis got hurt, when they looked to be one of the two or three best teams in all of college football, a virtual shoe-in for the college football playoff, and a team that could maybe make some noise in the college football playoff if the offense was firing on all cylinders, and to lose Jordan Travis, and then to lose the playoff spot, and then to be to soundly beaten by Georgia in the bowl game, and then upset by Georgia Tech in the first game of this new season. I mean,
they could be out of the playoff picture, because two conference losses right here are going to make it very difficult for them to even make the ACC title game, and a team that a lot of people thought had a great shot, you know, should have been, you know, their fans really felt like, and it was hard to argue that they deserved to be in the playoff last year when it was a 4-team playoff. They may be out of the 12-team playoff here. I mean, 2 weeks into the season.
Well, and you can make the college football playoff if you're Florida State as a 11-2 ACC champion. But the thing is, are you going to go 10-2 if you start the season 0-2?
Are you going to win the next 10 ball games?
Are you going to be able to navigate something like that? It's been a long time since we've even had a team lose one and then compete seriously for the national championship. Lose one early, you know, the first game of the season, and then compete for the national championship. So I think it's Florida State has found themselves backed into a corner very early in the season, and everyone will be watching on Monday night to see how they respond after losing to Georgia Tech in Dublin.
Before we get to the phones, they got some crazy things going on in Major League Baseball today. I mean, the Cubs.
Skeensy.
They were down 7.
The Cubs were down 7-0 to Paul Skeens and the Pirates.
10-3.
Yeah. No, that's right. They were down 10-3. They scored 11 unanswered, not off Skeens. Skeens had his fewest pitches as a major leaguer. I think they pulled him after 82 pitches because they're watching his pitches and his innings for the year.
The Cubs went
14-10.
Wouldn't be all that shocked if they call it a season for Skeens.
Pretty soon.
Because they're 9 games back.
Yeah.
They're one of the worst teams in the National League after the All-Star break, the Pirates are. And I think that their margin, their chance of seriously contending for a playoff spot could be over. And it's just, not that I'm advocating for this, but major league teams with prospects like Skeens,
you'd be very careful.
If they're out of contention, I don't know how much you see him in September,
right?
Like that, and they're rapidly approaching out of contention.
Yes,
Pittsburgh.
They are.
And performances like today are a big reason why.
Yeah, that is right. When you blow a 10-3 lead and lose 14-10, meanwhile, your team that leading the National League East is being no hit. The Phillies, let's see, Spencer Arrighetti, product of ULL, Louisiana Lafayette, who has not had a great season, having a great day. He's probably wanting the Astros to stop spending so much time on the field. He's been in the dugout for a long time. It is 10.
17 hits for the Astros
10
today.
10-0, and the Astros have had 5 hits here while he's been sitting in the dugout in the eighth. I wonder if they're going to send him back out
I wonder
in the
what,
bottom of the eighth.
I wonder what the record is for a team for hits in a game
In a no-hitter?
When their pitcher threw a no-hitter on the other side. I wonder how many times.
It's probably pretty close.
Yeah, I wonder how many times there's been a team with 17 or more hits in a game.
I think, and this is insane, but I think.
With a zero on the other side.
Speaking of the Phillies, I think Jim Bunning may have thrown a no-hitter in like a 12-0 game. Okay. So it might have. But it's probably pretty close right now. But anyway, so that's something we'll keep an eye on as well. But hey, we're wide open here on the in the second hour of the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Let's get to The Drive hotline, and Tex is up first. Hey, Tex.
Well, I almost hung up because you stole my story.
Oh, no, what?
On skiing.
Oh.
So I was in a facility this morning that does some work, and had a discussion with someone who said that look for schemes to either be shut down or pitch count be dwindling down significantly.
Yeah, so, he went five. He got 5 innings with 82 pitches today.
Yeah, he stole my story. So I got it from the guy that takes care of his arm. So anyway,
that's a very important job.
Oh, he's a very important guy, and he does great work. He's kind of pieced me back together slightly. So, you know, I was just thinking about all the predictions and projections for who's going to do this and who's going to do that. And it kind of reminds me of, like, weathermen. Most of the predictions are going to be a 50-50, right? That's about right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got a 50-50 chance of them being right. But I think the one that's pretty obvious is I think Georgia – they've got too many dudes to have one position, albeit a quarterback, be the issue. So I think that prediction, I can't see Clemson hanging in with them. I think they'll be able to push them around a little bit and run the football enough that they're able to throw the football. I'd be really surprised if Clemson's within 2 touchdowns in that game before it's all said and done.
I wouldn't be surprised. I just, it's funny how Clemson now is perceived as just a middle of the pack sort of team.
Yes. Yeah. It's. But in reality, aren't they?
Have they fallen that far? I don't know. I think they still got some guys, but.
Yeah,
they're not an elite team right now.
We're talking Clemson here, right?
Yes.
I'm not going to be all that shocked if Clemson finds themselves down multiple touchdowns in the second half against Georgia, because I think Georgia's got the ability to do that just about everybody this year. I want to see what it looks like against other ACC teams, because that league feels wide open. And I do think that if Georgia's multiple scores better than Clemson on opening day, it does probably put a damper on Clemson's chances of being national championship good this year.
Mm-hmm.
But in an ACC where, I mean, there are 7, 8, 9 serious contenders for that title. I mean, Florida State was the favorite, and you know that lasted about an hour. So I mean, it's. I think Clemson could very well be good enough to make noise in that league. And if they can look, if that game's close in the fourth quarter, you know, if you're playing Georgia close in the fourth quarter, you're probably good enough to play with just about anybody in college football.
You're definitely good enough to play with anybody in the ACC.
Absolutely. Well, look, I hate to run, but my pickleball partner's waving to me, telling me I need to come in to the facility.
Slow play has been a topic of conversation this week, so we don't want to make you not keeping him waiting.
Her.
Well,
them.
It's not a him. It's not a him.
Yeah, I know.
and she'll be in a car with me tomorrow, headed that way.
Yeah, so, I understand.
All right, guys, appreciate it. Take care.
All right, good hearing from you, Tex.
Appreciate it.
Clemson. Dropped to its first non-10 win season last year by going 9-4. That's their first non-double figure winning season since 2010. How about that? They had 12 consecutive double digit winning seasons until last year, when they won 9.
And like you said, they have the talent to bounce back from that and get into a closer something else.
Tech broke our phones.
I think so. I'll tell you what, we're gonna take a break and analyze this.
We will check. We've got the phone line dance going on the phone, so we'll check that. So give us just a second, and we'll let you know when you can try to call us back as we continue here with the Wednesday Drive.
At Reynolds Outdoors, they're all about hunting. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Can't take your calls at the moment. We're working on that right now. Well, hopefully we'll have that situation solved. It's crazy. I mean, everything was working just fine.
And then Tex called.
Cindy made Tex hang up before was ready, and it just it shut our phones down. But hopefully we'll have that back. We've got so much audio from the camp, but I mean, just yesterday. We had a chance to talk, and I was just asked you during the break. I was thinking we would know the game captains, or the captains for this season for Auburn. We'd heard that it would be announced yesterday. I really feel like the captains are probably coming from the players we talked to yesterday. We talked to the guys that most of the players we talked to yesterday are players we have heard our leaders on this team, that Hugh Freeze and other players have talked about being leaders on this team. Peyton Thorne, Brandon Frazier. Were they the only offensive guys we talked to yesterday?
Jeremiah Wright,
that's right.
3-3.
Yep, that's right. And then the three defensive players were Bug Thompson, Keontae Scott, and Champ Anthony, who we talked to yesterday. So we've got audio from those players. Thought we'd let you hear Peyton Thorne, who got some interesting questions and comments yesterday while we had a chance to talk.
It's crazy to think, and we talked about this earlier on the podcast. Speaking of Jeremiah, Saturday will be. Do you know the fact about Jeremiah Wright?
Saturday
will be his first career home start.
That doesn't surprise me. I knew he didn't have many starts. I hadn't really thought about the fact that they'd all been on the road.
Yeah. So this is his third head coach. Four or five position changes.
Mm-hmm. And back and forth. Offense, defense.
He looks like he's starting offense. And that's a guy. I wouldn't be shocked at all if he's voted as a captain, a universally respected senior. I mean, not that there are guys that aren't, not there are seniors on the team where it's like, oh, there's, you know, no. I mean, you could say that about most of the seniors on the team.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think especially the guys that have been, the seniors that have been at Auburn their whole careers, like a Brandon Frazier or Luke Deal is another guy in that mold from the tight end room. Jeremiah Wright is certainly in that mix. Tate Johnson, like you've got some Zeke Walker, is another one. Like there are some guys that have been here a while and I think it feels like there's a different level of respect from the players to these grizzled Auburn veterans of multiple years. And yeah, I think Jeremiah would be Nathan has suggested on a podcast before that Jeremiah might be the most widely respected person on the roster from some of the people he talks to inside the room, well liked and respected guy, on the team, and I think that certainly we do not know the captains, but that's somebody that I would think would have a pretty good shot at being voted in by his teammates.
And it surely wouldn't be a surprise if Peyton Thorne is. He was a captain last year. He was a captain his last 2 years at Michigan State. You don't have him yet. So, I mean, he's someone. We'll see if we can get that set up for you.
It's long, so what we should do is take.
We'll do that at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, we'll do our break
after our bottom of the hour break. All right, so let's continue looking at some of the games around the country. Speaking of
Hugh Freeze and this upcoming game and some of the he has not named the captains yet. Did have a couple of things to say on the conference call.
I did not see anything from the conference. I was out of pocket. I couldn't be involved.
I couldn't tell exactly where he was, but he said that he had gone to Florida to visit Brian Battee at some point today.
That's good.
And so he had taken some time from the game week prep to go visit Battee and the Battee family. He was lamenting that there were some missed assignments from the receivers during yesterday's practice, but stressed that there were fewer of them than there had been on Saturday.
I will say that before I left, there was a time where Perry Thompson must have run the wrong route, and he was hearing about it. So, I mean, that's one of the things that Coach Freeze was talking about the other day is the young players with their ability and how difficult it is these days because they need to know that they're not doing right, but you don't want them to feel like it's something personal.
Freeze mentioned he got to chat with Brian during his visit down to Florida and said that Brian really wants to come back to Auburn for a game. It'd be a really cool thing to see. So hopefully, and again, all the best to Brian and his family after everything they've been through. But yeah, cool to hear that Hugh Freeze took some time today to get down to Florida to see the Battees.
Yeah, I was saying we've talked about some of the games involving SEC teams.
I like West Virginia.
That's exactly the game I was looking at. So do I.
I like West
Virginia.
So do I. Yeah. I don't know if they're gonna pull off the upset. I don't know.
I'm going all in.
Yeah, you got West Virginia winning it. Yeah,
I did on Brian's picks. I did because in Brian's we don't worry about the line. We just do it straight up. And yeah, I'm going Neil Brown's way after Penn State rubbed it in a little last year.
Yeah, I think there's a.
I thought West Virginia got a whole lot better.
We talked about this a little bit with Jake yesterday because yep. that's one of the games that really stuck out to him too, and that's, I mean West Virginia was sneaky good last season, and especially after after entering the season with Neil Brown as one of the more doubted coaches in college football.
Oh, everybody had him on the hot seat.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks thought the Neil Brown tenure was not working, and it was just sort of a matter of time before West Virginia moved on from the former Troy head coach. But he had them throwing punches last season, and that league is so wide open. Like if you think West Virginia is a team that can make some noise, totally justified. I'm sort of over here thinking UCF. Is that team? A lot of folks think Utah is one of the 10 best teams in all of college football, period, regardless of conference affiliation. Oklahoma State and Kansas State and Kansas have supporters. TCU was just in the national championship game, sort of. They were there.
Yeah.
They
didn't participate
that
much.
They attended. Yeah. They attended the national championship game, not all that long ago. So that's a wide open league, but I think West Virginia could make a pretty compelling argument if they could put a scare into Penn State.
Yeah, that's probably the most intriguing game to me when I look outside games that involve SEC teams.
No, there's a lot of
Florida State, BC.
But I think a lot of the Big 12 and the ACC are playing. They're playing
warm ups.
Well, I mean, you got North Carolina, Minnesota tomorrow, which some folks think. I want to see what it looks like with North Carolina, another team that folks think could be a sleeper. In that conference, TCU and Stanford, another Big 12 ACC matchup.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it?
there's your Friday night game, Virginia Tech Vanderbilt. Like I know we're not going outside the SEC there, but
Vandy?
I don't know what Vandy
keep
is.
That within a couple of scores.
I don't know what Vandy is. Like, I suspect I sort of want them to,
but I always want them to.
It'd be cool. But
I can't count on them to.
No, I can't either. So I think that there's once you get outside the SEC, there aren't a ton of super compelling major conference versus major conference non-conference games. But there's still a loaded slate. And I think a big reason why is that Clemson, Georgia, Miami, Florida, and then A&M, Notre Dame,
and LSU Southern,
and then
Cal,
and then LSU on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, so all those involve SEC teams.
Yep.
So that's why we've talked as much about them. I was going to say we'd love to hear your thoughts on that right now. We can't seem to do that. So that is a problem. Like I said, we've got plenty of audio that we can get to. Tell you what, we can get to our bottom of the hour break a little early because, yeah, Peyton's 15 minutes or so. So we'll let you hear that when we come back, and we'll continue to work on the phones as well as we continue with the Wednesday Drive.
Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls. And as we said, one of the players we got a chance to speak with yesterday is quarterback Peyton Thorne. It's been a bit of a tumultuous ride for him. Thought we'd let you listen to the comments that he had yesterday as he gets ready for his final season of college football.
It's kind of what feels different heading into the season opener than last year's, one of your past. Just kind of what sticks out about this one?
Yeah, it's different than last year for sure. Like we talked about a couple weeks ago, we don't talk about last year much anymore. It's in the past, and that's done and over. But comparing to years prior, you know, I've felt this excitement before. You know, you kind of look around and you feel the energy in the building. You feel the confidence that the guys have right now and that our coaches have, I think. And it's encouraging, very encouraging. You're excited to get out there. Obviously, it's a process each day. You can only control today. And so just keep focused on the day at hand. Don't get too ahead of yourself. But there's definitely a lot of excitement, I feel like, right now. And, you know, it's just today we got practice, so we got to be focused on Tuesday's practice.
Do you feel like you have complete command of the offense right now?
Yeah, I would say so. I feel good right now with the stuff that's in, for sure. You know, me and Coach Freeze and Coach Austin and Coach Nix have all been talking about the stuff we have in, how we're reading it, you know, what we might need to get to if they do this or that on defense. And then protection-wise, I feel really good with where I'm at there. And, you know, we're on the same page with the checks and whatnot. And so I'd say I feel pretty in command right now.
Hey, how much has this defense from Durkin, how much has this helped you guys as an offense prepare for the season? Because we know you get a bunch of different looks. We saw a bunch of that too. How much does that help you get ready for a season?
It helps a lot, honestly. You know, different looks in the back end for our receivers and then different looks up front for sure for our offensive line. So in the run game, you know, when you get different fronts and different starts and stuff like that, it's good to practice those things throughout the year or throughout camp. And obviously the spring as well. So it's been good experience, I feel like, for those guys, especially young guys, to kind of be thrown in the fire and learn along the way. And then hopefully, you know, most teams we play are going to be, or I know most teams we play are going to be less multiple than you are in fall camp. And so, and then you have a week to prepare for that on top of it. So that's been really good for our guys up front, for me too, seeing different things in the back end and having to get my eyes right and see what they're doing. So it's been fun competing against our defense, but you know, I'm glad that we're done and we can all be on the same team again.
Brandon was just telling us that Coach Nix has a goal for you guys to get 40 points a game. Just kind of how feasible do you feel like that is heading into week one? And, like, just kind of how do you guys think you're going to reach that goal throughout the season?
Yeah, you know, I definitely think it's feasible. You know, you look across over the last 10 years or so, there's been plenty of offenses that have averaged over 40 points a game. You know, you'd probably look more at SEC teams that have done that. You know, obviously different conferences, there's different styles of play and everything. So I haven't done that personally. I haven't gone back and looked at, you know, the SEC points per game. But that's Coach Nick's goal. That's what he's put in front of us. And, you know, that is going to be the goal every week. And so it's our job to get there. It's our job to prepare every week. Throughout the week to put ourselves in a chance to get there. And then when Saturday comes, you got to make the plays and you got to execute. So, like I said, you know, I'd have to look at that research on teams that have done that. But I know there are plenty that have in the last however many years.
Peyton, there's been a lot of offseason talk about the improvement in culture and chemistry and those things. What have you seen in that respect?
Yeah, you know, I think we spent a lot more time with each other over the past however many months it's been. And then obviously, you know, a year or two, you get more like-minded guys together. You know, last year you had a hodgepodge of guys from old staff, new staff, transfers. You know, it's a bunch of different personalities on the team. And then obviously this year with a new coaching staff in some places. And then also, you know, Coach Reese has brought in another group of his guys, transfers and freshmen. And you can tell the freshman group are very similar across the board in terms of their work ethic and what they value. And so when you get around like-minded people, you know, you tend to spend more time with each other for one. And then two, you grow closer because you want to spend more time with each other because you're like-minded. And that's just kind of – that's life, and that's how I think things work outside of football too, just groups of people. So I think that we've definitely grown in that area, and guys are having fun right now in the building and outside the building together.
How much impact does that have on offenses on
the field? A ton. My years of being around the game of football, you know, as you guys know, my dad and my grandpa have been coaching my whole life. So being around that game and seeing the importance of getting guys to truly enjoy being together and truly enjoy going to battle together. You know, it's not just a 12 Saturdays in the fall thing. It's you have to show up every day throughout the whole year and, you know, put your time on the line, put everything on the line together. And if you enjoy being together and you enjoy spending time with one another, you're going to do more for each other. And so that is extremely important. I'm a huge believer in that. And, you know, I've been taught my whole life the most important thing in life is relationships. And so you build those relationships and you're willing to go the extra yard for somebody. I know that's kind of cliche, but you know, it's true.
Peyton, how would you describe maybe your comfort level compared to 2021 when you had such a good season at Michigan State, you know, some receivers and all that? Can you compare maybe how you feel about this offense or how you feel going into the season to how you felt? Because that was a good season as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a similar feeling. There's a lot of things that I can look back on and compare to that season. You know, I've talked to guys about that. And so it's a good feeling. Obviously, it's different for me because I hadn't started. I started one game going into that season in my career, and now I've started, you know, however many it is. And so I have a different comfort level with what I'm going to, you know, feel comfortable doing personally. And the things that are going to happen this year are more so I've seen happen before. You know, and it's like I have something to lay on top of versus 2021. Everything was pretty new. And so there are a lot of similar feelings. Obviously, there's different feelings as well, but I do think that you can compare a lot of the way I feel now to that year.
The more balanced the offense is, the more effective it is in most cases, right? So how important, how comforting is it to have the SEC's leading returning rusher on your team?
Yeah, it was very, very comforting. Obviously, Jarquez has put the work in this offseason. He wants to be even better than he was last year. And I think he's done that so far at this point. And then, you know, behind Jarquez, we got two more really good backs as well. And so it's kind of whoever's on the field, you feel really good about handing the ball off to them. And our guys up front are getting better each and every day. And as we figure out, you know, the lineup and who works best with who, it's kind of like a basketball lineup, honestly. You know, in the Olympics this past month or so, they were always talking about which matchups, with who works best with who, and that stuff. And offensive line, I feel like it's kind of similar at times. A lot of communication that goes on up there. And so when those guys are on the same page and they're doing their job, it makes Jarquez, Damari, and Cobb's job easier as well. And you know, you just got to get those guys a crease, and they're gonna do special things with the ball. So, like I said, Jarquez is really playing well right now. He's really tough to tackle. And he said the same thing about Damari and Jeremiah as well.
Peyton, what's your connection like with those young receivers? And have you seen it improve from the start of fall camp until now?
Yeah, it's been really good. You know, having Cannon and Bryce here in the winter, you got, you know, a few more months with them. Cannon is an awesome guy. I really enjoy playing with him and enjoy just hanging out with him, honestly. I feel like we're very like-minded. He's a competitor, and that's probably what I like most about him, honestly. He works his butt off. He wants to be held accountable, and he wants to get better. And the guys that I've been around in my career, those are the guys that go the farthest and, you know, play the longest and make the most money, to be honest with you. And so I think, obviously, his future is very bright, but I see a lot of similarities in those guys in Cam, and that's really exciting. And then, you know, the other three, Malcolm and Perry, showed up in the summer, so you try to get around them as much as you can and talk to them on the field as much as you can. Obviously now it's a pretty decent age gap. You know, those guys are 5 years younger than me, which is crazy to think about. But, you know, there's still plenty of ways to relate to them. We're not that much of a difference in age. And obviously I've been a freshman before too, so I know how it is. But I feel like it's been a good relationship building time, and I'm looking forward to, you know, building more of a bond with those guys as the season goes on.
What did you say from Mike Brown? Since he was like backup.
What was that, Hank Brown?
Yeah.
What have I seen from him?
Yeah.
He's been the same guy that he's been the whole time I've known him, honestly. Hank's a really solid guy. You know, people talk about he comes from a really good family, which he does. You know, he's also from Illinois, like me, so we have that in common. But he's been great. You know, he's a friend of mine, and we spent a lot of time together, a lot of time on the golf course together. And then he calls me a bunch with questions, him and Walker both, asking about, hey, what are you looking at here? Hey, how are you watching film here? Hey, when we get this look, you know, why'd you make that call? And, you know, it's guys that are eager to learn and want to obviously prepare themselves to be ready when their time comes. And so it's been a joy playing with those guys. I think we had the best group of guys that I've for sure been around. And Coach Austin says the best group of guys he's ever been around too. So, you know, it's been fun in that quarterback room, and I'm looking forward to spending the rest of the next 4 months with these guys.
Who wins the golf match?
Between me and Hank?
Yeah.
Man, I have to go back and look at our scorecards, but for the most part, I think I take it for the most part, but he wins. Hank loves winning money, so Hank always finds a way to squeak it out there.
Freeze said yesterday he thinks you're eager to prove some people wrong this season. Do you carry that kind of attitude?
A little bit. You know, not too much. You know, I've learned over the course of my career that the people on the outside, the people that honestly aren't even in the quarterback room itself, they don't really know what's going on. And so, and that's no disrespect to anybody, but they don't. And so, even when in, you know, 2021, as you referenced earlier, and other times throughout my career, you know, I've heard people say that I was doing something that I wasn't doing that they were giving me praise for. And so it's like, you know, people on the outside, they really don't know. And they'll say you did a great job when maybe you didn't. And they'll say you did a terrible job when you didn't either. And so, you know, I'm just looking to take this year to capitalize on everything God's given me and make the most of what I've been given. And that's been my goal my whole career. And for me, it's about winning games, but then also just doing the best that I can do personally and doing the best that we can do. And I feel like if you walk away from it knowing that, you can live satisfied the rest of your life. And so for me, I'm looking to prove myself right. I'm looking to prove the people around me right. I'm looking to get back to all the people that pour so much into me. Obviously, it starts with my family and then all the people close to me. And I want to give back to them all the time they poured into me. That's my main goal.
You mentioned looking back at maybe your early years at Michigan State. Does it feel strange now to be getting ready for a week one after all these years? I'm sure your freshman year doesn't feel like it was that far away.
Yeah, there's times where it feels like it was a short time ago, and there's other times where it feels like, man, it's like 15 years ago. You know, it feels like forever, some of the memories we have. But yeah, you know, it's exciting getting ready for another year. I feel like we have a good team this year, and you know, I'm really excited, like I said, to get to work with these guys and to play ball with them.
Peyton, can you break down what a game week looks like for you preparing for this first game?
Yeah, I actually just put my schedule together pretty detailed 2 days ago. So Sunday you come in. Obviously this Sunday is different because I didn't get hit on Saturday. But, you know, as the season gets going, you come in Sunday, you get treatment, make sure your body's good. Hopefully you're not hurting too bad. I'll come in and move around and try to get the lactic acid out, do some oxygen stuff in there that our trainers have been great. They got something for us that's awesome. I'll probably get in the tubs, watch the game film. I'll probably watch, you know, I watch the film on Saturday night usually because I can't help myself. And then watch it again Sunday, put it in the pass, and then get started on normal down for the next team. Do all that, then relax a little bit Sunday night. Make sure I get plenty of sleep for the week ahead. Monday you come in, touch a little bit more, normal down, check out the pressures. Tuesday you start to get in the third down a little bit. Obviously you have practice thrown all in there. And you try to get a couple hours each day of film on the opponent, and then you have to tack on that extra time to watch practice and put together a few notes and thoughts for receivers usually about, hey, if we get this week, you know, go ahead and attack it like this. You know, I've already been talking with the guys. A couple guys have called me asking about, hey, if we get this, look, what do you want me to do? And so that's been great. And then as the week goes on, you get into situations, 2-minute, 4-down, red zone, all that business.
practice, and you lay the plan on top of the film of what we have in, and then when, by the time Friday gets around, you kind of watch a couple games, first couple drives, see how they're playing the game, and then by Friday night you're done. You should not be trying to cram stuff in Friday night like a test. Be relaxed Friday night and confident going into Saturday, and wake up and make it happen.
Coach had mentioned that there might have been a few growing pains on Saturday with the younger receivers, a couple missed assignments, things like that. Said he was really going to challenge them this week. Just kind of how did you see them respond? And, you know, for those young guys, when they do kind of have those mess-ups, how do you see them respond and kind of bounce back?
Yeah, you know, they're guys that they're not going to get too high or too low, I feel like, which is good. You know, a guy like Cam, like I said before, I just enjoy playing with him so much because I see in him a lot of my younger self and how pissed off I used to get if I messed something up that I knew, you know, stuff like that. And I saw that in the summer. The last time we played in the summer, he got really, really pissed off, and I was like, man, I freaking love that. Like, that's awesome. And, you know, the young guys, they try to bounce back. Obviously, you know, coach's going to get on them because we're going to need them here at some point during the season. So they're going to have to grow up really fast. Not that they're immature, but they just don't know yet. And, you know, they have to be put in the fire a little bit, which they have the last couple of weeks. And so it's going to be all hands on deck to make sure they know exactly what they're doing. Because when you get out there Saturday, you know, you can't afford to have a missed assignment because it could be a big play. And when you get playing the better teams in our league, you need every play. And so, you know, I think they're doing a really good job. And I think that they're on a trajectory that will put them there by the time that the middle season comes.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Peyton.
You were 12.
Yeah, that was Peyton Thorne yesterday, as the media had with one more opportunity to talk to some players before the game on Saturday evening. We will get to our final break of the afternoon. We've got the phones working, so there's time for you to join us. 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Wednesday Drive.
Inspired by the bold bison, Southern Union students blaze new trails.
Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment here of the Wednesday Drive. Yeah, we apologize for the technical problems there, and thanks to Jacob Goins for coming in and rebooting everything and getting the phones back up and working.
He doesn't just call the Auburn High School football games or host on the line or do Tiger Takes.
That is right. Oh, yes. We do need to let you know that tomorrow we have the first of our Tiger Takes for the season. Looking forward to another year of getting to hear the insights from Eugene Asante. And since Auburn is practicing most afternoons, they're busy while we're on the air, Jacob will be able to talk with Eugene, and we'll run those for you each Thursday at 5:30, Tiger Takes with Auburn linebacker Eugene Asante, presented by 12K Salon on North College in downtown Auburn. Yeah, so looking forward to that.
Excited to have Eugene back. Excited to have 12K Salon in the fold.
Absolutely.
Welcome aboard. Might have to hit him up and see if we can get haircut discounts, right? You know, for our folks.
Like, that sounds like a good idea.
Send Drew in there to, you know, get
a trim.
Get styled up.
It's going to take a while since before I really need much more over here. I got a serious.
I'm deciding whether or not it's time
start
to
start the winter growth already.
I don't know.
I have to wait till it's a little bit cooler.
I know. I might have to get one
cut before football and don't get it cut again until.
I don't like to cut my hair during wind streaks. So you know,
no,
I probably have to get it going. You know, we'll have to figure something. That has blown up in my face a couple of times with the haircuts and shaving.
What a terrible thing to have your team on a win streak.
No, and then you say, well, you know what, they're locked for this upcoming game. I can shave. It'll be fine. And then sure enough, it's happened a couple times. And then they lose close, right? And you think it was just by a hair.
Yeah.
By
that one.
It was exactly.
That one they got trimmed.
On the chinny chin chin,
yeah.
Bill.
Oh, yeah. So, but looking forward to that as we really, it's game week, and we're getting closer and closer to the kick. Again, we've talked about it. Be prepared for a – it's going to be warm. It's going to be – not warm. It's going to be hot Saturday. As we were talking with our good friend, the voice of the Tigers yesterday, Andy Burcham, he is really, really hoping that they have said that there will be fans set for them for the for their pregame because they're outside during the pregame. And you're talking – that is the hottest time of day. They're coming on the air at 3:30 on Saturday. That's when the pregame – the network pregame starts on Wings 94.3. Don't forget the game day on Wings 94.3 starts with Uncle T-Bone and Jack Hudden. That'll come on at 1:30 and then go
they're
for
taking
2
calls.
Hours. They're going 2 hours. Yes, they are.
They're taking calls. Should we buzz in? Should we have to see
on the way over or
something. Yeah. We might have to pop in and see. You know, you might get a drive by from one of us. I mean, love Jack and Uncle T-Bone.
There will be some interesting things that have already happened when they're this week.
As the person who is more responsible than anyone else for after the game being unleashed.
That's right.
On the radio airwaves.
You know, what I think they should do, really, now if I were doing it, I would really be pushing for this, is we do a pregame show for the late games, but we do a postgame. I'd come on 2 hours after the postgame for one of those 11 o'clock games. I wouldn't mind coming on at 4 o'clock.
Well, you know, Steve, are you listening?
I'm saying if I were.
Oh, there, okay. You're not hearing Bill Cameron was volunteering for.
No, I've got other responsibilities. I'm just saying if I were them.
You'll be on Kennedy duty by then.
It could be a floating pre-post game show depending on kickoff.
Well, look, Uncle T-Bone and Jack are going to do a great job. Listen to that. Listen to all of our coverage on Wings 94.3. Big shout out to Jacob for coming and fixing the equipment. Auburn High School Vestavia this Friday night, I believe, is the action they've got.
That is right. And is it Lee Scott and Polka?
Lee Scott and Lochipoca. That's right. Should be a fun one in Lee Scott's new region.
Yeah. So I mean, there is outstanding football here in this area, and we've got coverage of so much with the Christian Handling, Lee Scott over on AU100, and then of course Jacob has got the play by duties for Auburn High as they look to go. Both those teams looking to go 2-0 this week.
Busy show tomorrow.
Oh yes, indeed. All right, we mentioned Tiger Takes. Justin Ferguson going to be in the house tomorrow as we look forward to getting his insights as we head up to kick off on Saturday. Justin, of course, from the Auburn Observer. And then at 5 o'clock, right at the top of the second hour, our good friend David Pascal, who has moved to a new show as I believe there was an ownership change.
Okay.
So he's still doing the same time slot there in Chattanooga, and he's still, of course, with the Chattanooga Times Free Press.
But he may have jumped radio stations or something.
He has changed stations.
Okay, well,
they had an ownership change, and you know how that can be.
We'll find out his new call sign tomorrow when we welcome him in. But that's always, I mean, nobody covers the SEC better than David. So it'll be great to have him back for another year of joining us on Thursdays.
Absolutely. So it should be a fun day tomorrow. Fun time today. Again, our thanks to Jason Caldwell for joining us in hour number one here on the Wednesday Drive, which we're out of time for. We'll be back with you with a full show again tomorrow. Lots of guests, and we'd love to hear from you as well. But that's going to do it for the Wednesday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.